Welcome to Herd Mentality, a podcast from StoneX where we discuss global dairy markets and what's driving them. Remember that the trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. We're recording this on Thursday, September 4th. With me this week is Dave Krzyzewski. He's team lead on the dairy desk in Chicago. And we've had a very active and a very interesting couple of weeks in the U.S. dairy market. 2 weeks ago, we got the U.S. milk production report for July, and milk production was stronger than expected, up 3.4% from a year ago. By the time you factor in stronger components of the milk, you're talking about something like 4.7% growth. It's a lot of new milk, but we also got the cold storage report for July. And butter stocks were 10 million pounds lower than forecast and down 6.1% from a year ago. So we have a strong milk production story, but butter inventory doesn't look all that heavy. However, butter prices have really dropped out of bed. We've seen the U.S. spot market drop from $2.60 a pound in early July to nearly $2 a pound here in early September. So a 60-cent drop over the course of the last 3 months, with a lot of that decline coming in the past week and a half. What are you seeing in the U.S. butter market, Dave?
Good question, Nate. It's the past 2 weeks have been brutal. I mean, just highly emotional futures options market, greed and fear. You know, this is human nature stuff going at its best. I think the seeds of what are going on right now in the market were sown several months ago. And we saw that because, clearly the world prices have been, well above the U.S. for some time. And I think that ushered in, call it May or June, there was definitely some U.S. buy side interest and probably some multinational buy side interest that needed to have hedges on the books or wanted to have some prices, and they started that process probably when we got down below $3. So $2.80 was the initial leg that they wanted to get on generally. And then the market came down. It was at $2.30 for some time, at 2 months on the spot market. But the second half futures never quite broke down much below $2.50. And I think they finally woke up sometime in May or June and said, we're running out of time here. We got to get the hedges on. We're not going to get this 230 price that we want. The market's staying aloft from where spot is. It's got this carry. Let's go get it done. And they pushed the market up 30 cents. It was a futures driven rally this summer. And you know that because the spot market never led the way. Spot followed. And as soon as those guys got a belly full and said, hey, we don't need to buy anymore, we've got everything done, I think the market looked around and said, well, there's still plenty of, grade AA salted butter on offer, in the country as well as at the CME, the physical product itself. And so we peaked out at about 260 while the futures went up to 270, 280. And then everything started to unwind. And I think a lot of it has to do with milk production and the fat in the milk. There's no doubt. I think that's part of it. Obviously, Nate, you and I have talked about this in the past. Are these reports correct? Are the USDA numbers on cold storage correct? I'm going to favor yes on that. But I do think that there may be more butter out there someplace that maybe is not getting recorded. What do you think?
It's a tricky question. I think the best explanation, and it's either going to be proven right or wrong in the next couple of months, is that there's a whole bunch of butter that's reportedly been exported from Ireland that has not showed up to the U.S., but the official U.S. import statistics do not show it clearing into the U.S. yet. I think it's probably sitting in a bonded warehouse at a port, and they delayed clearing it into the U.S. while they waited for more certainty around the tariff situation. So there could be something like 35 million pounds of butter that will suddenly clear customs. Probably didn't happen during July. Maybe it happens August or September, and that butter could suddenly show up in the cold storage report. I emailed the USDA about this yesterday to ask them whether products sitting in a bonded warehouse would be included in the cold storage report or not. And they wouldn't give me a clear yes or no answer, but they did point out the cold storage methodology only includes warehouses where product is expected to be held for more than 30 days. And typically you would clear that butter through customs very quickly. It typically would not be held there for more than 30 days. So I think there's a decent chance that those bonded warehouses are not included in the cold storage surveys. And there could be the 30 to 40 million pounds of butter that has been sitting in a bonded warehouse or warehouses that could suddenly clear through customs now that, well, I guess with the recent court ruling, there's less certainty around how long these tariffs are going to last. But at some point, they got to clear it through to get it into the U.S. and onto the shelves. So that could help to explain some of this weaker than expected butter inventory levels. But even if I make the assumption that there's another 40 million pounds of butter in inventory, I'm not sure that the fundamentals would fully justify $2 a pound butter.
Yeah, well, and I think that highlights the point I was making. Beginning of this conversation, which is there's a lot of emotion and fear and greed at the moment. And so we made, new 2025 price lows for spot butter in August. And then, kind of found a little bit of support there for a day or two. And then he had another wave of selling come through. And I think, part of that is, as the market comes down, people get the short arm, so to speak, or, they don't necessarily want to step in front of something that's moving quite so quickly to the downside. I mean, this is the ninth week we've seen losses on spot and futures together. Now you do have a big fat psychological number at $2. I mean, that's a number that, these big numbers tend to provide some level of support. Technically, I had written $2.02 a pound as a first area of like target to the downside, and we're there now. And the market stopped and did stop falling yesterday. It's stable now on the spot market. Futures still have a pretty healthy premium, so they're kind of whittling that away. Yet today, or this week, I should say, but it remains to be seen. Yeah, we could push down below $2, but I think the market's going to hold here, and I think you're going to start to see some kind of convergence between spot and nearby futures, somewhere between $2 and maybe $2.15 or $2.20. I'll give myself a little bit of breathing room there because we are going into the time of year when you could pick up some demand, and this is the time of year that we really kind of see seasonal buy patterns pick up or change. And although we really haven't seen that the past couple of years, it could certainly be a factor that we face over the next, call it, 4 to 8 weeks.
So at the same time that we've seen a lot of downward pressure on butter, we were actually rallying the cheese market for a little bit of that. We peaked CME blocks at $1.88 in mid-August. Yesterday, September 3rd, we were at $1.76. So we're off the recent peak on cheese, but it's only down 10 cents instead of being down 30 cents that butter is down. We got the cold storage numbers for cheese. They were a little bit heavier than expected, but only up 0.9% from a year ago in July. Cheese doesn't seem overly heavy, and my models would suggest that with inventory being up 1% from a year ago, we should maybe be closer to $1.85 than $1.75. But the cheese market's been running a bit weak relative to the model for more than a year now. Where do you think we go on cheese here in the short to medium term?
Yeah, I think the cheese market is really stable around current levels. And to your point, I mean, it depends on what type of cheese that we're looking at. I mean, over the past month or so, it's been pretty heavy in the 640 cheddar category. Undergrades have been relatively heavy as well. White cheddar is fairly tight. That's what we're going to be exporting primarily. And I think we're moving a lot of cheese, although we may not be making, a whole lot of headway on new sales going forward quite yet, into 2026. I think we're still moving quite a bit of cheese offshore at the moment. And so that leaves 40 pound cheddar blocks, which is what we price. And it's kind of caught in the middle someplace. You know, it's not too tight, not too widely available. We're talking about 4 to 30 day old fresh cheese. So, you know, there's probably plenty of 60 day old cheddar out there. And there might be a little bit of tightness at times on some of the real young fresh cheddar. So, I mean, 175 to 185 seems to make sense. When butter started to come down, I thought maybe we'll be in a situation for the first time in a long time where cheese actually goes over butter. But, you know, realistically, the cheese market doesn't feel that tight at the moment. If we did push back into 180s right now, from a seasonal demand perspective, which I think is possible, I don't think it's got much more above that at the moment. You know, things can change, but I would favor modest increases of price here next 4 to 6 weeks, 4 to 8 weeks, with regard to seasonal demand.
I was on board with you. 2 weeks ago, I think I was still plugging in like $1.85 for late September, mid-late September, but I've pulled it back to like $1.78. I think with the weakness in butter, with the strong overall milk production, with the new cheese plants running, that it's going to be a struggle to push cheese even a little bit higher. But you know, at the same time, I don't think we're going to go much below $1.70 here in the short term either. So I'm with you on a stable cheese market, but I would argue for a little bit of weakness instead of strength in the next couple of weeks.
What is interesting to me is the spreads. So if you look at butter, you know, you see a classic kind of bearish carry market structure. So you've got spot at 201 and change, and October's at 219 or 220 or something like that. So you've got this carry structure. What I think is really interesting about cheese and even non-fat, I mean, non-fat's actually pricing a bit of a discount on the forward curve. You know, cheese is remarkably flat. So for buy-side hedgers who have dealt with a carry market in cheese all year up until a couple of weeks, I mean, it's a real pain in the neck to try to hedge your forward prices in a carry market, because the spot price, you know, earlier this year was maybe 160 at some point, and the second half futures were at $1.82, $1.83. How do you lock that up and not feel like you're being taken advantage of? It's very difficult. But now you've got a tremendously flat forward curve, $1.76 and change on the spot block market, and we're at $1.78, $1.79, you know, all the way through like June of next year. There's no carry in the market. So that, you know, you would think buyers would be lined up just saying, let me lock it up. And I think to some degree that they are, and I'll tell you why. But, as the market comes down, remember, people are beholden to their thoughts and their sentiment on the market. And just like people look at it and go, if it's not good right now, if it's steady to your point, Nate, right now, boy, in 3 months, it's going to be really negative. You know, we could be $1.50 or something. You know, that's the thought process in the market today. That being said, you know, the open interest on cheese futures this time last year for all of 2025 contracts and including 2024 at that time. But so this time last year, open interest was like 14,000 contracts and change. Right now, the cheese futures, something like 22,000 contracts, like 150 million more pounds of cheese being hedged using the cheese futures contract than there was this time last year. That's huge. And I think a lot of that has to do with the FMMO changes this year and the fact that now the cheese futures contract is a block contract, not a block barrel contract. But it just goes to show that, you know, there's a lot of activity in these markets, despite the fact that there's not maybe a whole lot to look at in terms of big price spreads on futures, et cetera. And it's a pretty flat market relative to spot. There's a lot of activity all the way into next year right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I'm kind of in line with where you think the market is thinking. I think we end up in the $1.60s, maybe some dips into the $1.50s in the first quarter of next year, just given the type of milk production and cheese production that we're looking at.
And the knock-on effect of that, if that happens, Nate, you know, we're going to find out real quick what dairy farms think of milking cows. Because I at $17.50, I don't think that they want to, you know, call more heavily. But at $15.50, they might. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. I think based on data from accountants with large dairy farmers in Idaho and California as their customers, their break even after factoring in the high price of beef and the high price of calves, their break even is probably $17 or a little bit under $17, class three, class four basis. So at $17, I don't think there's a strong incentive to cut back on milk production. But if we drop to 16 or into the 15s, now there's going to be some financial stress. The thing that potentially offsets that is a lot of the expansion that we've seen in milk production this year has been in states with new processing capacity. And it looks like they've timed these farm expansions or these new farms to come online along with the ramp up in capacity at these plants. So far, the expansion in milk production in some of these states only fills these new plants to 50%. So there's potentially more farms that could come online to fill these plants. These farms, these expansions are underway currently or would have to be underway. And they're not going to suddenly stop that building process just because milk has dropped to $15.50 in the short term. So maybe we could see a slowdown in production growth from some of the existing farmers, but that could be offset by growth with some of these new farms coming online.
And if that does happen, though, you might also see an environment where overordered premiums start to kind of skyrocket, right? I mean, they'll pay more for the milk to keep the plant running, to keep going, because I think a lot of these new plants, and I mean, I don't know this for certain, but my sense of it is they're not anywhere close to 100%, running 100% capacity. They're probably 50, 60, 70% presently.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. But that means that there's still room for new farms to come online close to those plants, and it wouldn't necessarily impact their overorders very much, where you'd probably see kind of that change in overorder or in basis would be, say, Minnesota, Wisconsin, where milk production growth has been fairly weak. And that's maybe where we would see the slowdown in milk production if we drop to $15.50.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you're saying $2 cheese.
I never said that. $1.50 cheese, $1.60. Let's say $1.60.
Okay.
All right, Dave. Thanks for your time today.
I appreciate it, Nate. Thank you.
The StoneX Dairy Team spans the U.S., EU, Asia, and Oceania, providing market intelligence, analysis, and forecasts through our interactive data platform called StoneX Plus, as well as full-service brokerage on the major dairy exchanges, the CME, EEX, and SGX. If you're interested in finding out more about our market intelligence or brokerage services, you can find more information on StoneX.com.
This communication is issued in the European Economic Area by StoneX Financial Europe SA, SFE by the SFE presenters noted. StoneX is the trade name used by StoneX Group INC and all its associated entities and subsidiaries. StoneX Group Inc. companies provide financial services worldwide through its subsidiaries, including physical commodities, securities, exchange-traded and over-the-counter, under derivatives, risk management, global payments, and foreign exchange products in accordance with applicable law in the jurisdictions where services are provided. References to certain over-the-counter ROTCA products or swaps are made on behalf of StoneX Markets, LLC SXM, a member of the National Futures Association NFA and provisionally registered with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission CFTC as a swap dealer. SXM products are designed only for individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ACPA and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. Wealth management is offered through SA Stone Wealth Management Inc., member FINRA/SIPC, and SA Stone Investment Advisors Inc., and SEC Registered Investment Advisor, both wholly owned subsidiaries of StoneX Group Inc. StoneX Financial Limited SFL is registered in England and Wales. Company No. 5,616,586. SFL is authorized and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority Registration Number FRN 446,717 to provide to professional and eligible customers, including arrangement, execution, and, where required, clearing derivative transactions in exchange-traded futures and options. SFL is also authorized to engage in the arrangement and execution of transactions in certain OTC products, certain securities trading, precious metals trading, and payment services to eligible customers. SFL is authorized regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority under the Payment Services Regulations 2017 for the provision of payment Payment Services. SFL is a Category 1 ring dealing member of the London Metal Exchange. In addition, SFL also engages in other physically delivered commodities business and other general business activities which are unregulated and not required to be authorized by the Financial Conduct Authority. Stone X Financial Europe SA. SFEED is a securities trading firm registered in the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg under Company No. RC Luxby 10821. SFE is authorized by the Luxembourg Ministry of Finance and regulated by the Commission de Surveillance du Secteur Financier Registration No. P00000012 to carry out, inter alia, the activities of investment advisor, portfolio manager, professional acting on own account, broker in financial instruments, and commission agent. Stone X Financial PTELTD Co. Reg. No. 20113059 8RSFP is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore and is a capital market service licensee for dealing in capital market products. An exempt financial advisor for advising on investment products and issuing or promulgating analyses/reports on investment products and a major payment institution for cross-border money transfer service. Stone X Financial HK Limited CNO, BCQ152SHK is regulated by the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission for dealing in futures contracts. Stone X Group Inc. acts as agent for SFL in New York with respect to its payment services business. Stone X Financial Thai Limited, SFA Akin, 14177-4727 holds an Australian financial service license and is regulated by the Australian Securities and Investments Commission, AFSL, 345646. Stone X Securities Co. Limited, SSJ Co. Reg. No. 01040104799 is regulated by the Japanese Financial Sir. ISIS Agency as a Taipei Financial Instruments Business Operator. Kanto Local Finance Bureau FIBO No. 291 is a member of the Financial Futures Association of Japan for dealing and broking FX and FX option transactions, and is a member of the Japan Securities Dealers Association for dealing and broking stock indices and option transactions. The information herein is not a recommendation to trade nor investment research or an offer to buy or sell any financial product. It does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and does not create a binding obligation on any of the Stone X Group Inc. of companies to enter into any transaction with you. You are advised to perform an independent investigation of any transaction to determine whether any transaction is suitable for you. This material should be construed as the solicitation of an account, order, and/or services provided by the FCM division of Stone X Financial Inc., SFID NFAID 0476094, or Stone X Markets LLC SXM NFAID 0449652, and represents the opinions and viewpoints of the individual authors or presenters and does not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of SFI or SXM. It does not constitute an individualized recommendation or take into account the particular trading objectives, financial situations, or needs of individual customers. Additionally, this material should not be construed as research material. The trading of derivatives such as futures, options, and over-the-counter OCC products or swaps may not be suitable for all investors. Derivatives trading involves substantial risk of loss, and you should fully understand the risks prior to trading. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future results. All references to and discussion of OTC products or swaps are made solely on behalf of SXM. All references to futures and options on futures trading are made solely on behalf of SFI. SXM products are intended to be traded only by individuals or firms who qualify under CFTC rules as an eligible contract participant ECPA and who have been accepted as customers of SXM. SFI and SXM are not responsible for any redistribution of this material by third parties or any trading decisions taken by persons not intended to view this material. Information contained herein was obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but is not guaranteed as to its accuracy. Contact designated personnel from SFI or SXM for specific trading advice to meet your trading preferences. SFP may distribute analysis/report produced by its respective foreign affiliates within the Stone X Group of companies pursuant to an arrangement under Regulation 32C of the Financial Advisors Regulations. Recipients should contact SFP at 656309-1000 for any matters arising from, or in connection with, this podcast. No part of this material may be copied or duplicated in any form by any means or redistributed without the prior written consent of Stone X Group Inc. The podcast herein is not directed to, or intended for distribution to or use by, any person or entity who is a citizen or resident of or located in any locality, state, country, or other jurisdiction where such distribution, publication, availability, or use would be contrary to law or regulation. Copyright 2024 Stone X Group.